Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Rex Huerman, man accused of being the Long Island serial killer, Gilgo Beach murderer. Well, he's getting his DNA tested again. You may remember last week they were arguing, you know, we don't think there's enough probable cause to have to order that, his defense was saying. Well, a judge said, you're idiots. The court finds that contrary to the defendant's contentions, there is probable cause to believe that the defendant committed the crimes charged and therefore a basis to compel for the buccal swab. This is going to be now compared along with the mitochondrial DNA sample from the hair that was recovered from some of the victims on the burlap sacks that they had their heads covered in on the beach, along with the pizza crust that was also taken from outside of Huerman's office, which yielded to Huerman eventually being arrested. Now, where this goes, that is the question. But I was amazed that anybody could be making the argument. If this doesn't reach the level of probable cause, considering everything they pulled out of his house and all the other pieces of evidence that seem to link him to these crimes, what possibly does?
Well, I mean, more look at it as the fact that the police's job is to find you guilty.
Sure.
Like cops, that's what they do. Their job is to find ways that you are getting in trouble and hold you accountable. I'm being diplomatic here. And your defense attorney's job is to hold police accountable and to make sure they follow every single step. So it's really common in DNA cases like this where the finding the mitochondrial DNA in the trash, for instance, because trash becomes public property. And then after that, you have to get a search warrant for a cheek swab.
Sure.
And so they're just following, you know, step by step. They're making sure that they don't skip any steps or let anything pass by this point. And, you know, I feel like that's the right answer.
They're doing what they need to do. One would be almost surprised if he's like, yeah, come swab my cheek. Here, I got a Q-tip already for you.
Well, for real. Yeah, you know, sure. Like, I've been able to get away with stuff for however many years I've been able to get away with it. You know, minimum of 15 years. But I quit. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to ask you about patterns of behavior and the possible psychology of Rex Huerman. Obviously innocent until proven guilty. He's accused of murdering at least 3 women now. There could be a potential 4th, and there could be potential many more with the bodies that have been found on Gilgo Beach and possibly many other areas that could span many different states. But if we're talking specifically of Gilgo Beach, there's a lot of bodies that were on there, almost up to 24 that were on that beach between 96 and all the way into the present. The 3 that he's accused of, there shows a pattern. It's the burlap sacks. That's just where they found his hair and they found his wife's hair. Shoes missing on each of the victims. Somewhat ritualistic, somewhat of a pattern. A lot of the other bodies on the beach that have been found over the years, heads missing, and I'm not trying to get gross, but dismembered bodies found over the time. How common is it for someone, if they are a serial killer, to change tactics, to change their way of operating, to go from the burlap sack and intact bodies to dismembered bodies in other parts? Is this like, are these others likely part of Huerman's trope of death, or are these others likely having nothing to do with Huerman?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of answers to that at the same time. Like, for one, we really don't know anything about serial killers because we've only ever caught the failures.
True.
So we don't really, like, we pretend there are things like patterns, but, I mean, think about going grocery shopping. You have a basic store that you go to and a basic pattern you follow through the store, but if a road is flooded or if one of the aisles is blocked off and you really need eggs, you'll find a way. So this idea of having an MO and a signature, that's a place to start. But humans are more complicated and more flexible than that, especially if they are, okay, visual quotes here, successful. That, you know, that a successful serial offender of any type knows when it's time to change something up. So I don't know. You know, there's also the fact that there are certain geographical areas that are known to be, for one, common suicide sites, right? Like the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco.
Sure.
Is one of the most common suicide sites. Las Vegas is one of the most common suicide sites in the U.S. Parallel to that, there are certain sites that are very common dump sites for crimes. And all it takes is learning that. And the ocean is a really good place. Sorry about it if I'm giving ideas away, but the ocean is a really good place and a lot easier to just dump a body in the ocean than to dig a hole.
Sure.
So it's just hard to know at this point, and I don't think we're ever going to truly know the answer to all of that. I don't believe he's responsible for all of the bodies that have been found on Gilgo Beach. I also don't believe that all of the people he's responsible for killing are in that one place.
Yeah.
I think he strikes me as more of an Israel Keyes type, mm-hmm. traveling man.
Now, traveling man or rambling man? That's the question.
Well,
he's a rambling man. I just it's a joke. You know, he's in so many songs of the day.
I think we just dated ourselves.
Exactly.
But yeah.
He's a traveling and a rambling man. You never know what Rex is going to be up to until you finally realize, oh, Rex is a serial killer. That's what the rambling, traveling Rex was up to, allegedly. When we're talking about leaving items behind, there was a belt that was left with the inscription WH or HM on it. People are wondering, does this connect to Huerman? The H itself, the W or the M, they've looked back in his past and it does connect to other family members that may have had initials like that, but obviously not exactly Rex. Serial killers or killers in general that leave little pieces of things behind. I'm not even speaking specifically on this belt because I don't think we know enough about it to really say much. But if he did leave something behind, is it very similar to taking a trophy as leaving a trophy? Is it in that same sort of vein of I want something to mark what I've done? Is it a point of pride? What is that exactly?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they may have discovered a successful dump site, then you don't want to poison it. You don't want to get caught.
Sure.
You want to be able to keep doing your thing. And so accident or random, you know, I mean, look, I live less than a mile from the ocean and the stuff that gets washed up sometimes is really bizarre, you know, and that whole concept of a message in the bottle, like there's a reason why that's a trope is because currents carry things quite a distance. And so it's just sort of hard to know.
With the home that they went through, his home and now the family back in it, are you at all surprised that they released the home as quickly as they did? Now, keep in mind, they were there for more than a week. So I want to put that into perspective to the audience. It wasn't like they just stopped in, got a couple things and left. They were there for a while, but it was a hoarder house. There's a lot of stuff in there. I can only imagine how difficult it would be for the FBI to go in and attain what exactly they are looking for or to decipher what is valuable and what is not in a setting like that where you're looking for objects and items of normal use for an individual, but since they connect back to a crime, you have to determine, well, is this part of Huerman's family stuff or is this part of a victim's thing? Is it wise that the home was released considering this is an ongoing investigation? And I'm assuming, you know, they got what they needed at the time, but what if there's more that's needed?
There probably will be. And it's pretty common for multiple search warrants to be issued as, like, a search warrant has to be very specific. So unless something is lying out in plain view, and even then, often the crime scene techs can't take it unless it's in the search mm-hmm. warrant. They have to sort of either take photos or write it down or something like that. Like, you can only take that which a judge has explicitly allowed you to take. So they may have taken that week, gone through, pulled what's in the search warrant, and then had to pull back and say, okay, we may need more time in the house, but we need to be able to articulate exactly what we're looking for.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.